Many, many years ago, I missed the cut in Omaha, Nebraska on what is now the web.com tour. And I can't remember where the next tournament was, but it was somewhere in the Midwest, a long way from home. And players on the web.com tour, myself included, didn't have the financial wherewithal to just fly home when they missed cut. And a gentleman asked me if I had any interest in helping the Golf Channel out with their live coverage on Thursday or on Saturday and Sunday. And I said yes. The first man to ever hand me a microphone was Keith Hirschland. And Keith Hirschland, still a producer, that did not cost him his job, is joining me right now. Keith, how's it going, my friend?
Johnny Mags, it's going great. Thanks thanks for telling that story and letting everybody know that in a moment of weakness, I gave you a call. No, actually, it was one of the smarter moves I ever made because you turned out to be one of the most entertaining on-course announcers I've ever worked with.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. And what was fun about that is baptism by fire. And that's really how people become broadcasters. Somebody hands them a microphone and says, go do the job and put your own spin on it. And you don't get a whole lot of feedback at that point. You either have it or you don't. It's pretty clear to those who are watching which category you fall into. And you just keep going. You have discovered and given the opportunity to lots of people over the years. And my good friend and yours, Jerry Foltz, credits you for the career that he's been able to forge for himself.
Well, that's a true story. And what a lot of people don't know is, you know, the number of people that have actually had a chance to do this and turned out not to be very good at it. And, you know, obviously the names will not be mentioned, but there are a lot of people who you would just think or assume that would be excellent on-course announcers or broadcasters because they have great personalities or they're great storytellers. But when you put a microphone in their hand and put the pressure on and, you know, the red light comes on, they actually turn out to be, you know, not as good as you would have expected. So it works both ways. It's funny that sometimes you get, you know, you find diamonds in the rough, and other times the people that you think are going to be outstanding turn out to, you know, not have careers in broadcasting.
And I don't think there's any question that Jerry Foltz was one of those diamonds in the rough. You certainly didn't approach him because of his playing record.
Wolfie and I go way back.
He
played junior golf with my little brother. So when he showed up in a production truck one day and as you said, what is now the web.com tour event, you know, he reintroduced himself to me. And, you know, he's one of, like you, John, you know, Jerry is one of the more social people on the planet. And that goes a long way into making a good television personality, because like you, like Jerry, like people like Kay Cockrell, they can talk to, enjoy talking to everybody. And, you know, that helps when you're looking for somebody who you want to tell stories and describe golf shots on TV.
I completely agree with you. I bring all this up and get you to tell the stories because I'm assuming that this is what the new book is about, but I could be wrong. It could be. I've not seen the book, ladies and gentlemen. I plan on reading it. I eagerly anticipate it and hope that it arrives before I get on a overseas flight on Wednesday night. I know it could because I can go to Amazon.com and buy it right now and have them FedEx it to me, and so can you. Keith, tell us about the book. What is the name of it, and where can people find it?
Well, thank you for mentioning it, written a book. It's written and published a book. It's called, the title is Cover Me, Boys, I'm Going In, and that has a long history with my career in broadcasting. That is what I say on the headsets to everybody that is in charge of making sure the show goes smoothly in terms of on the air. So I want everybody to know that I'm jumping in the foxhole with them, but to cover me, boys, I'm going in. And it was about a 4.5 year labor of love for me. My folks, who were great influences in my life, and my dad was a pioneer broadcaster in Northern Nevada who started the television station there when there wasn't one. And you know, they passed away a few years ago, and my wonderful wife and I were going through their memorabilia and ran across boxes of newspaper clippings and awards and stories that my dad had, you know, letters my dad had written to his parents and all this memorabilia. And my wife looked at me and she said, "You've done so much in your 30-plus years in television and seen so many people and told so many stories and been to so many events." She said, "You know, don't let this be your kids when you're gone, you know, going through boxes of stories and, you know, start writing these things down." And I did. And, you know, from my start, watching my dad and mom work, you know, all hours of the day at the local TV station in Reno, Nevada, to my time at ESPN and ESPN2 and working with Don Olmeyer and the great folks at the Skins games, and then, you know, the beginning of the Golf Channel. You know, Golf Channel hired me in October of 1994. I think I was one of the first 40 people hired at Golf Channel. And, you know, some of those stories, not all of them, but a lot of those stories are in this book. And, you know, it's kind of like if you're a fan of golf, if you're a fan of TV golf, if you're a fan of television, but more importantly, if you're just a fan of, you know, of people, you know, I think that you'll enjoy reading some of these stories in this book.
I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. When the folks at the Golf Channel, or did you tell the folks at the Golf Channel that you were doing this, or did you? I mean, it sounds to me like you did it for yourself, which I think is the best way to write. And then it was something that, oh wow, this is actually publishable. Is that sort of the way the process went?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, I did. I started writing it for myself, and it was, you know, it was a very cathartic experience for me. And, you know, I started down just writing down some stories and starting with my dad and mom, and they were huge sports fans. They taught me and my brothers how to play golf, and, you know, and it just kind of along the way, you know, I kind of thought I could tie this story along with that story, and you know, it became a chronological journey of you know, my life and you know, it again, it's called Cover Me Boys, I'm Going In, Tales from the Tube of a Broadcast Brat. So, it, you know, it's kind of like I grew up in broadcasting and you know, there's the whole thing is it's been a joyride. I mean, you know what the life in broadcasting is like, and life around sports, and life around the best sport in the world, which is golf. You know, I haven't worked a day in my life. So, you know, I just thought that there were a lot of stories to tell and a lot of things that happened. Tiger Woods, you know, we were there when Tiger, you know, when Ed Fiore beat Tiger, you know, we were there when, you know, I was there when, you know, Curtis Strange took his shoes off at the Skins game. And, you know, I mean, they're just, you know, Nick, you know, sat down to dinner with Nick Faldo and, you know, I mean, and all kinds of stories about, you know, about the early days of, you know, kind of local television and PM Magazine. And, you know, I was on a game show and won $32,000. And, you know, all these things that, you know, you just look back on what has been a wonderful life and a glorious career. And, you know, it's just, I, you know, luckily I figured I, you know, remembered a lot of the stories and was able to put it down in book form.
I think that is as impressive as anything else. and as from a personal accomplishment standpoint, to sit down and write is hard enough, but to be able to do it consistently enough, to weave a thread, if you will, through a timeline, it's impressive to me, and something that I have tried and failed at on a number of occasions. I'm sitting in the media center at the Wyndham, and I promise you, there is a proverbial manuscript in the desk at home of every person out there in the media center that is incomplete because they couldn't get through it. It's why, you know, what Dan Jenkins has been able to do, or John Feinstein has been able to do in writing stories about others, that is so impressive to me. I'm as your friend, I'm proud of you. I don't mind saying that.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm a big fan of those guys too. And then, you know, so many people that you meet along the way become influences in your life, and you know, it's And all of the things that happen to you along this journey, you know, the times that you, you know, you run into some rough spots, or the times that you celebrate successes, you know, you just have to face them all with kind of a, you know, a love life attitude. And, you know, it's all been so positive. I mean, even what I would look back on or at the time considered some of the worst days of my professional life, they were all, you know, so something good came out of every single one of those things. So, you know, I mean, I hope that people, you know, the people who do buy the book and read it, enjoy it and see it as, you know, again, a kind of a celebration of, you know, this crazy thing we call life.
We're talking to Keith Hirschland, Golf Channel producer and now author. But Golf Channel producer is hardly an adequate title. Your name has been brought up since last Wednesday on a number of different occasions. You probably don't want to comment on it or know the answer to who is going to produce the U.S. Open in 2015. But I'm sure that your phone has been ringing with inquiries from your friends.
The phone has rung a little bit, but you know, this is, you know, there are way too many days between now and then to talk about, you know, that, you know, obviously that was a huge, you know, kind of a huge
shock
day and a huge bombshell in the world of golf. And, you know, I mean, you know, I think it's exciting. I think that, you know, I think that, what lies ahead for this sport and, you know, the way it's presented on television is nothing but exciting, and no matter who sits in the chair, they're going to do a great job.
I think that is a very diplomatic answer out of you, Keith. I hesitated to even bring the subject up because obviously you are married to someone who was influential in the decision, I would think. And that adds another dynamic to it. How is she liking life at the USGA? She's been there for a year or year and a half now?
Almost 2 years. Yeah, she loves it. And by the way, she was smart enough not to mention anything to me. So
really?
Oh, yes. This is a brilliant woman. And she is not, no, that she's all business, which is just fine with me.
Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? So what's going on with you these days? Obviously, you've written the book. I'm thrilled to have you on. I can't wait to read it when we do. I want to get you back on to talk about some of the stuff. I'm sure that the early days of the Golf Channel are covered pretty handsomely in the book. My question to you is, could you have imagined when you were one of the first 40 hires down there, and basically it was in a strip mall, that the Golf Channel would become the powerhouse, the fastest growing cable network in the world? Could you have envisioned that day? Did you guys think that grandly from the beginning?
You know, I think we all hoped it would turn out the way it's turned out. I don't think any of us. I think to a person that we would all be accused of not telling the truth if we actually believed that it was going to. You know, I left a great situation at ESPN to come and, you know, take a flyer on the Golf Channel. And a lot of people were in the same boat that I was, you know, left solid, good paying, secure jobs because more than anything else, we believed in Joe Gibbs's dream. And the man, you know, I would love to say that, you know, I'm among those who think that he should be enshrined in the World Golf Hall of Fame for what he's done for the sport, for the game on TV. But really, you know, he and Bob Greenway and, you know, Mike Whalen, Chris Mervin, and, you know, Del Wood, just the brain trust, Gary Stevenson, the brain trust at the Golf Channel at the time. You know, we'd be lying to say that we were, you know, we knew that it was going to turn out to be a success, but boy, we sure were going to work our tails off for these people to do everything we could to make sure that it was a success. And, you know, it was amazing, you know, and again, you know, some of those stories are in the book and I couldn't tell all of them, but,
no.
You know, that may be a different book,
but, I think, know, that would be the last book.
Yeah, you're right. That book, I might have to write that book and put it in a safe somewhere until I'm long gone.
There's no doubt about it. You ever heard that voice in your head? There's somebody sitting next to me.
Of course I've heard that voice in my head. That's a great voice to hear, generally.
That is generally a great voice to hear. That's Todd Lewis sitting next to me from the Golf Channel.
Boy.
Who just walked in.
Keith, thanks. I don't think John and I are implicated in this book in a negative light, are we? Or are we even mentioned?
There is nobody implicated in the book in a negative light.
I know I'm not. I know, I'm just kidding. I'm looking forward to it.
I think you got, you know, and John, there are some stories. There are some stories I could have told. I want your listeners to know there are some stories that I could have told about John in the book. And again, that may be a book for, you know, another book somewhere down the road. But you know, as far as Todd is concerned, who I think does a fabulous job on Golf Channel, one of the, you know, true professionals in our industry, and you know, a guy that I have enjoyed working with over the last couple of years. Luckily for Todd, the book was finished mostly before he and I started working together. So,
well, Keith, remind us, Amazon.com, is it in any brick and mortar stores at this point? Is that a direction that you're heading with it?
Nope. I hope it's kind of, we self-published. You know, you mentioned John Feinstein earlier. He was a huge help to me and had his publisher look at it, and you know, basically they thought it was, you know, great, really well written, and not to pat myself on the back, but you know, that they both said that the way that traditional publishing is going these days, that you know, that self-publishing is really the way to go for a lot of, you know, new artists and new authors. So we did that. So right now it's not available in any book and mortar stores. If we sell enough on Amazon, it could be. But you can get it at Amazon.com and just search books for Cover Me Boys, and it'll pop up. I think I'm like number 80 on the hot memoirs list right now. So I'd love for people to buy the book, because it really is a tribute to my parents and a tribute to this great profession and the great people that I've been fortunate enough to meet and work with and be, you know, and share this great career with.
Well, I can tell you, Keith, from a personal standpoint, if you and I had not met, if you hadn't given me the opportunity that you gave me, I'd be selling life insurance right now. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you, thank you, thank you.
And I echo that, by the way, Keith. You're one of the great, good at it, John. Keith, you're one of the great right brain thinkers in our business. I mean, you really do paint a beautiful picture, and you're a great storyteller from a producer's perspective. And secondly, to have you in our ear and keep this show moving and fun and in a calm perspective, it's really a positive. You're a true, true professional and great, and as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Wow.
Keith,
you guys are too kind.
I will have a copy of the book as I fly to Ireland next week. And if I survive that trip, come back on in a couple of weeks and we can talk about it more in depth.
Anytime. I appreciate it so much, John. You have a great show, and I really thank you for allowing me to be a part of it.